reading is John 3, 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but do you not know where it comes from or where it goes? So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Excuse me. My name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I'm delighted to welcome you to worship on this first day of March. I am so glad that you decided to come together in worship today to acknowledge that there is something that I need, that I find when I gather with all of these people, and together we seek God's grace, God's presence in our lives, in this world. Y'all, some days it feels like the world is coming off its hinges, doesn't it? It was not even just on Wednesday this week we gathered in this space to kind of be a satellite operation of prayer and worship and solidarity with our immigrant neighbors, and sort of a satellite to the larger United Methodist event happening in Washington, D.C., and we can't keep up. I mean, you know, then since then, our military has effectively been sent into war, and just last night, some 20 people were shot in violence just blocks from here. Where can we find God in all of this? How are we supposed to respond? What does it mean to be a person of faith in a really chaotic world? So here, as we gather together, God meets us. I believe it's true. God meets us in a unique way. Even if it is something that we can't really explain, God uses this practice of worship to heal our wounds, to buoy and strengthen us in hard times, to bring us into the comfort and the care of a community where we can learn unconditional, self-sacrificing love, to call and inspire and challenge us to grow and to change, to trust God with more and more of our lives, with our futures, so that when the call of God is clear to us, when the will of God is clear to us, we will have the courage to do it. Worship is part of what does that. It is this incremental step of growth, often unnoticeable from week to week, but deeply transformative, formative even, if we practice it regularly. So all of that's to say, I'm really glad that you're a part of this today. It's important. Today, I wonder, when was the last time that you changed your mind? hopefully not too long ago. Do you remember an experience of changing your mind about something significant? Did it happen quickly, all at once, in a rush? Or did it happen slowly, inch by inch, over the course of years? A few weeks ago, there was a great sketch on Saturday Night Live. Some of you, I'm sure, saw it. I can tell by your faces which of you saw it. I could at 9 o'clock tell who had seen it before. It depicted a mother talking with her young adult children. They had gathered to look like they were about to go out to dinner, but before they left the house, the mother insisted that she had something that she really wanted to share with them. So before she began to unfold the news, she gave this caveat. She said, "I'm only going to say it if after I do, you promise you will not react. No talking, no face, no nothing. What I'm going to say is shocking, and it is going to make you want to react. But I need you to promise you will not." See, now I can see all of you who've seen it before. She gave them practice examples. She told them things like, "I eat bugs," or "my butt fell off," trying to shock them to show them that they had to really work hard to not react to her. Finally, when she's satisfied that they understand the assignment, she goes on. And she says, "What I have to tell you is I may have changed my mind about Trump." And her children, of course, erupt in exclamations. And she quiets them down. She's yelling at them, reminding them that they said you would not react. And then she goes on. She said, "I feel now like he might be bad for our country." And the children just unload again on her. "You've got to be joking. We've been saying this since 2016. And the mom responds, "Oh, I'm sorry if I'm late to the perfect party." And then she asks them, I think, a really poignant question. She says, "Do you guys want this to be real or not?" And on they go, with the mom trying and then struggling and then trying again to be vulnerable. And the children, the adult children, trying and then struggling and then trying again to be understanding, to let their mom, their own mom, be a human. There's a crazy idea. What a marvel it is that our minds ever change. That our hearts ever change. What a miracle it is when we take a step toward something new. I wonder how it started for Nicodemus. I wonder what got him thinking about Jesus, wondering about this teacher, considering the possibility that Jesus had more to offer than your typical rabbi. Nicodemus really gets a bad rap. And if you look at it one way, it's kind of fair. Nicodemus doesn't really make himself look very good in this story. He comes in secret under the cover of darkness, hidden from the condemnation of his Pharisee friends, because what would they think if they knew, you know, he had gone to see Jesus? And he also comes hidden from what probably would have been the judging gaze of Jesus' own disciples, if they had seen him. He leads with what he thinks he knows, which Jesus promptly tells him is wrong. And then he asks questions that belie his own ignorance. If you look at it one way, Nicodemus is sort of a foil. He is the idiot that gets pranced on stage to showcase Jesus' superiority to all those who would dare to question him. But if we look through another lens, what we see in Nicodemus is a snapshot of an imperfect person in the process of having his mind and heart changed. It is as though we stopped the film in progress, sliced right into it, and then turned it to see a cross section to observe this still frame moment of early stage transformation, to understand the anatomy of change. I wonder if we might have a moment of compassion for Nicodemus. Our first impulse is to sort of watch this scene as though we are watching Nicodemus through the view of the camera on the Ring doorbell, you know what I mean? Watching him in the dark, rolling our eyes as he sneaks up onto the porch to see Jesus. But what if we take our place on the porch next to him, with one who earnestly, if imperfectly, is trying to be open to Jesus' confusing teaching? He's trying to receive Jesus' confounding offer of new life, trying to decipher how we get to this new birth that he tells us we need. Notice that Nicodemus is actually one of the only ones in the Gospel of John who is the one who seeks Jesus out. Everyone else just sort of bumps into Jesus as he is along the way to somewhere else, but not Nicodemus. He knows that there is something here that he needs, something here that his soul desires. But he comes with his armor up. He leads with what he knows, or at least what he thinks he knows. His curiosity got him this far, but it got him to the doorway, to the front porch with Jesus. But if Nicodemus is going to go further down this path, he's going to have to let go of everything he thinks he knows. It's an old case of what got you here won't get you there. The faith that carried you through one season may need to grow for the next season. I wonder if you have reached that point in your life. You know, that point in your faith. That point where what you always believed just doesn't make sense anymore. The way that faith has always worked for you, it just isn't working anymore. For many of us, the impulse when that happens is to judge ourselves. I can't believe I believed that. I can't believe that I thought it was that simple. I'm so embarrassed that I was aligned with that theology. What Jesus shows us in this encounter with Nicodemus is the grace-filled challenge that we need to take a new step. God has a way of meeting us, even in our half-baked understanding. God sticks with us long enough for us to look around and to realize that we, just like Nicodemus, we are in the dark. We don't know as much as we thought we did. That realization, that kind of itchiness, that discomfort, it helps us to see that what we need is not some minor tweaking and retooling of our theology, but rather a radical yielding to what God longs to show us. Yeah, we say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, yada, 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 eternal life, et cetera, et cetera. I know this one, we say. But Jesus says, yes, but get out of your head and let me show you what it means to truly believe. Break out of your bubble of all the people like you and let me show you what I mean when I say the whole world. We don't hear any more from Nicodemus in this conversation. As Jesus is wont to do in the Gospel of John, he just keeps talking until the story kind of trails off. A few verses later, we lose the thread, and then we move on to another scene with Jesus going on to another town and with other people. We're left wondering for a while, what happened to Nicodemus? Did he change? Did he ever get it? Did Jesus leave him there wallowing in his own misunderstanding? Then a little later in the story, the Pharisees are arguing with the police, saying, Well, only the uninformed people actually believe in Jesus. None of the authorities, none of us Pharisees have believed in him. And then Nicodemus steps one little foot into the spotlight, and he reveals that something in him is changing. He says essentially, well, maybe we should hear what he has to say. Maybe we should see what he does. And perhaps this one Pharisee has started to believe. The next time that we see him is Good Friday. Jesus is dead. And Nicodemus shows up at the grave where Joseph of Arimathea has brought Jesus' body, his crucified body. He brings myrrh and aloe, 100 pounds of what he will need to prepare the body for burial. He tenderly wraps Jesus in cloths, and he and Joseph lay him in the tomb, ready, as it were, for his own rebirth, his own new life. The anatomy of change. Three scenes. It is a triptych of transformation. One wonders, did Nicodemus ever really get it? Do any of us ever really get it? Or do we just keep showing up where Jesus is, asking more questions, opening more to the discovery that we don't know as much as we thought we did? Do we just keep coming to Jesus and begging him, bring me out of darkness? Show me what I cannot see. By your Spirit, bring me to new life. I wonder where you are today. If we were to pause the film to take a slice and view the cross section of your life, I wonder in what way you are in early transformation. Perhaps creeping around in the dark for fear of judgment. Perhaps still stuck, mired in all that you know or that you think you know. I wonder where your next encounter with Jesus might take you. I don't know. But I do know that he will be faithful to meet you, to challenge you, to renew you, and to feed you along the way. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Friends, God calls us into a life.